Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we continue in our study through Psalm 119 here on Wednesday night, and we welcome you here tonight, our guests, visitors, members. Glad that all of you are here tonight, and we'll trust that God will use His Word in our life, and we are very undeserving of it, and yet the Lord is gracious and merciful. Amen. And we'll trust that He will guide here tonight. Psalm 119, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep Thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto Thy word. Accept, I beseech Thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me Thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget Thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from Thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform Thy statutes always, even unto the end. Last week we began this portion here of Psalm 119, and we note that this particular section begins with maybe one of the most familiar verses in the Word of God, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And it really does highlight for us the value of God's word in a practical sense for our everyday living. And that's what the Word of God is for our everyday living as we journey through this life. And here, one of the synonyms for God's word is light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Light is something that dispels darkness. Light is something that reveals things that are hidden. Light is something that gives direction, and you can see how that correlates and relates to the Word of God, that light dispels the darkness. We are in darkness without Christ, and the light of the glorious gospel shines in unto us, and we're saved, amen, and we have light for our path. It reveals things. It reveals the wicked nature of our heart, our sinfulness before God. It reveals the hidden things of the heart, and it gives us direction. That's what light does. And we do go through some times of darkness in life, and there's a need for the light of guidance as we experience this life. And that light for us is found in the Word of God. That's what the psalmist is saying. We need direction in the darkness. And I used the illustration last week of your headlights on a dark fall Alaska night. It is so dark outside in the fall time. Even it's more dark now than it is in the wintertime, because in the wintertime you have the snow and the moon reflects off the snow and it has some sort of light that gives off. But right now it's just so pitch black and you can't see the church sign anymore because there's no light out there, and is this really Athena, and so on. I'm glad for headlights that keep you on the road, amen? Well, it's the Word of God. It's a light for our path. It keeps us going in the right direction. Proverbs 6:23 says, For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life to keep thee. That's what God's Word is for, and God has given us this precious treasure of His Word to be a light for us on the path that we travel in this life. And we said that we were going to see three things from this portion of Scripture regarding the Word of God. Number one, we said that the Word of God gives us direction. Number two, the Word of God is our defense. And number three, that the Word of God can be our delight. And we got through verse 108 last week in this section, the Word of God gives us direction. And we talked about how the Word of God gives us direction in three areas: for our obedience, number one, for obstacles, number two, and then number three, for offerings. In verses 105 and 106, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep Thy righteous judgments. We said that God's Word gives us direction for obedience. The light of God's Word points out our direction for the purpose of obedience. If we want to know what to do, God's Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Those two phrases are very descriptive because a light shows us the road, a lamp shows us the steps. Does that make sense? In other words, the Word of God is a light that shines out and then on our feet so as not to stumble. And we may not have all the details of life. We don't know what tomorrow is necessarily going to bring. But we have in God's Word a light that reveals the direction and the road that God wants us to travel on. We have a lamp to shine on our feet to show us how to take the next step. And the application was that the Word of God helps us make decisions in life. We should not make decisions based on how we feel, because our feelings change. And our feelings can be deceptive. And God will show us from His Word what He wants us to do if we'll seek Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Do we really believe this? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Do we really believe that? I don't know what to do. Or there's decisions that need to be made. Well, the Bible gives us all kinds of direction. For instance, the Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion. God doesn't initiate confusion. And if you don't know what to do and there's confusion, then a good rule of thumb for life is don't do anything yet and keep taking it back to the Lord. He promised, I'll direct your steps. Now note verse 106. So the light for the path shows us the direction. The lamp for my feet is the next step. That's the timing of God. God does both of those things through His Word. Now note verse 106. I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep thy righteous judgments. This is where the obedience part comes in. I will keep thy righteous judgments. Notice how the psalmist says that I've sworn. I will perform it that I will keep thy righteous judgments. The Word of God gives us light for the purpose of obeying it. Sometimes we want to do what we want to do, and what we want to do is not the same thing as what God would have us to do. And we need to come into conformity to the will of God through the Word of God, because that is what is going to keep us on the right path. God's Word can give us direction for every decision that we ever have to make in life. Verse 107 talks about God's Word giving us light for obstacles. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Apparently, the psalmist was suffering from some kind of affliction. And he uses the term very much here. I'm afflicted very much. The word affliction there, it means browbeating. It means to weaken. Very much, the word, the phrase literally means repeated or louder and louder. So in other words, this affliction that he's experiencing, it wasn't sporadic, it wasn't hit or miss. He's indicating that this is a repeated thing. It's getting louder and louder, and it's getting harder and harder to handle this, and it's weakening him. Also note that he prays, quicken me, O Lord. The word quicken means to revive. He's speaking here of his spirit. In other words, these circumstances that he's facing, this affliction that is this browbeating that's getting harder and harder, these circumstances have gotten him really down. He was suffering these browbeatings from his enemies. It affected him, and no doubt he was experiencing some depression. Well, what does he say? He says, quicken me or revive me, O Lord, according unto thy word. And the application was that the Word of God can fortify a person's spirit, a person's heart, a person's soul. It revives one's inward being. The Word of God deals with the things on the inside. It deals with the things on the outside, but all those things on the outside typically come from what's on the inside. And the Word of God deals on the inside. It deals with our anxieties. It deals with our guilt. It deals with depression. It deals with fears. Everything that tortures us on the inside, and whatever those circumstances are, tell it to God. That's what he's saying. If our desire is according to his word, then God is going to respond as we've requested it of him. And whatever obstacle is there, the word of God gives us light in dealing with it, whatever that thing is. It's torturing you on the inside. And then we said in verse 108 that the word of God gives light concerning our offerings. In verse 108, accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. The most common type of freewill offering in the Old Testament was the burnt offering. It's not what the psalmist is referring to. He's singing. This is a song. And he says, Lord, I want you to accept the freewill offerings of my mouth. The psalmist understood that worship was more than making sacrifices and observing rituals. In Psalm 51 and verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. God doesn't want mechanical conformity. God doesn't want ritual from those who would worship him. That's not what worship is. What he wants is thankful hearts. And out of the thankful heart will flow genuine, abundant offerings of praise unto God. Hebrews 13, 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That is pleasing. That's a pleasing sacrifice to the Lord. And the application that we talked about or made was that just because we come to church and we sit in the building and we sing songs and we're quiet while the preacher's talking, that doesn't mean that we've worshiped. Worship is not going through motions or doing things for to be seen. And you can sit through church but never actually worship the Lord. You can stand up here and speak and never actually worship the Lord. The Word of God tells us how to approach God. It teaches us how to praise God. It trains us how to give him that free will offering of the heart. It is a thankful heart that will offer up those acceptable sacrifices of praise. In Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Amen. Those are the things that are acceptable unto the Lord. And so the word of God gives us that light, gives us that instruction. That brings us to verse 109 and through the rest of this portion, which will be our text here tonight. So let's read it together. You just follow along. In verse 109, my soul is continually in my hand, yet do not I forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. The second thing that we noted that we would see in this portion of Scripture is not only does the Word of God give us direction, but secondly, the Word of God is our defense. Notice how the psalmist says in verse 109, my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. What he's saying here is, when he's saying my soul is continually in my hand, we could say it like this, and you might understand it better. He's saying my heart is literally in my throat. That's what he's talking about. He's nervous. He's anxious. In verse 110, he says, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. He's scared to death, in other words. His danger was real. He was afraid, but notice how he uses the word yet. He says, my soul is continually in my hand. My heart's in my throat. Yet, do I not forget thy law? You know, he's talking about anxieties, anxiousness, fear here. And many times when we are submerged in the anxieties of life, we have a tendency to forget about God. Do you know what I mean by that? We're thinking, and we're overthinking, and we're worrying, and we're fretting, and we're not remembering that God is still God. We have a tendency to forget about God, and the psalmist says that the word of God gave him confidence. It was his defense, and it quieted his fears. You know, the word of God can really be a defense against anxiety in life. We can get overwhelmed with anxieties if we're not taking it to the Lord. Go to Philippians 4, Philippians chapter 4. In verse 6, Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We've talked about this before, but verse 6 is pretty strong. Be careful for nothing. The word careful, it's not talking about being reckless. It's like, be careful for nothing, just be reckless. That's not what it's talking about. The word careful means anxious. Don't be full of worry. Don't be anxious over anything. That's what he's saying here. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, take it to the Lord. Verse 7 says, then the peace of God, which passes understanding, is going to keep your heart and your mind. Now, do we believe the word of God literally or not? Sometimes. Other times, I'm afraid we don't. Because what is this saying to us? What is this telling us? You would think, you know, the Apostle Paul might have been a little out of touch with reality. Don't be anxious over anything in life. Was he really inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write, be careful for nothing? You know, if he said, try not to worry so much, that would be hard enough as it is, especially for some people, right? Try to worry just a little bit less. That's enough of a challenge right there. Or, you know what? You've got set days. On Thursday, you can be anxious. But the rest of the week, you know what? You need to trust God. Or it's a season of heaviness in life. And surely, in a season of burden, in a season of heaviness, there would be room for anxiousness or worry because it's such a trial and it's such a burden. Paul doesn't seem to give any leeway here, does he? Be careful for nothing. What exactly does Paul mean by that phrase, be careful for nothing? Well, again, the word careful, it means anxious. The word nothing literally means not one thing. That's hard. That's hard. Do we believe the word of God literally? You know what? It's also written in the present active tense. And you're like, I don't even know what that means, Pastor. Well, I didn't either until I looked it up. You know what that means? The present active tense. It implies for us an ongoing state of life. In other words, a life of perpetual anxiety about anything should not be present in the life of a Christian. It's sin. That would indicate, a person in that state, it would indicate that this life is not being lived by faith in the Lord. We forget about God. Having the presence of anxiety in our life doesn't automatically mean that it's sin, okay? The presence of anxiety at times is probably unavoidable in our sinful state at some point. However, the prison of anxiety is not of God. Anxiety itself might be an emotion, but anxiety for sure can lead to sinful behavior because we're not trusting in the Lord. You know, we numb our fears with things. And when we numb our fears with something, rather than take them to the Lord and casting our care upon Him, then we're sinning. A life of perpetual anxiety is sin. In Luke chapter 10, in verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." She was full of anxiety and trouble about many things. And then Jesus said this, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." You know what he's talking about? He's talking about how Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. That was the good thing, the good part. What was Martha doing? She was cumbered about. She was careful and troubled about many things. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And what I'm saying is, many times when we fear things of life, we don't have time for God's Word because we're too busy thinking, overthinking, and worrying about things of life. The Lord reminded me of this just yesterday. It was yesterday. Things happen in life, and sometimes it comes in waves, right? I'm about to have to put a new transmission in my Suburban. I have about $6,000 worth of work to do to Maddie's car. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do? And it's like all the money you save, and it's like going out the window on car repairs. And it's like, what am I going to do? And the Lord reminded me, you know what? You're just sitting there worrying and overthinking. And it's not a problem for me. So I had to stop, and I had to say, okay, not a surprise to the Lord. I don't know how or when or why, but you're going to have to find an answer for it, for whenever that is, whatever that might be, and I'm just not going to worry about it. Is it a problem still? Sure. But I don't have to be controlled by it. Amen? That's a silly example. There are far worse things that people go through. The psalmist confessed here in verse 109 of our text. He said, "My heart's in my throat. My soul is continually in my hand. Yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have erred not from thy precepts." He confessed here that even though he was frightened, even though he experienced some anxiety in his life, he didn't forget the law of God because it was a defense for him. And whenever we feel the most insecure, that's when we need God's Word the most. Why? Why do we need God's Word the most in those times? Because the Word of God draws us to Him, and when we're drawn to Him, that is where we find His peace. What does Philippians 4:7 say? "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus." Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Why? Because you're trusting in the One who is all-powerful and all-knowing. So don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. You know what? Uncertainty about tomorrow can start to invade your thoughts. And a bunch of people just said, "Oh yeah, I know all about that." Uncertainty about tomorrow can invade your thoughts. But listen, you still belong to the Lord. And He said, "My peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you." So don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Take it to the Lord, and you'll see. Like the psalmist didn't let his circumstances repel him away from God. Rather, he ran to God's Word, which kept his heart, which kept his soul. How many of you would say that that's the first thing you do when you're worried about something? Is that you run to the Word of God? Or how many of you would be honest and admit that you just think and overthink about this problem to try to figure a way? Or you let stresses and fears start to control your thinking? In Philippians 4, it goes on in verse 8 to tell us, you need to think about what you think about. Think on good things, think on right things, think on true things. And so the psalmist says the Word of God is not only a direction for his life, but the Word of God is a defense for him as well. And then thirdly, in verses 111 and 112, the Word of God can be our delight. He says, "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end." The Word of God can be our delight. The psalmist says they are the rejoicing of my heart. You know, you can learn a lot about somebody and understand a lot about somebody by what delights them. Right? The psalmist states that the testimonies of God were taken as an heritage forever. That word heritage, it means an inheritance. And so the psalmist says that the Word of God, this is my inheritance that can't be taken away. It's forever. And it's this priceless treasure that brought rejoicing to his heart. And to just make it simple, when it comes to the Word of God here, when we delight in it, when we understand its value for my practical life, when it becomes that treasure to my soul, the treasure that it really is, then I'm going to be consistent in the way that I live and live it out. Do you know why we're not consistent in living out the Word of God? Because we don't see the value. We don't really have an appreciation for the value of it. We'll be consistent in the way we live it. And when we're consistent in the way we live it, it's going to have a profound impact on the quality of life that we have here. Proverbs 6:23, "The commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and reproofs of instruction," that's from the Word of God, "they are the way of life to keep thee." It's going to have a profound impact on the quality of life that we have here. And I'll just wrap it all up with this. It's the light of God's Word that points out our direction as we travel through this life. But this world is not our home, right? We're passing through. Where is home? Heaven. That's where we're headed. But the Word of God points out the direction as we travel through life on our way home. It's the Word of God then that is a defense against our enemy and against our flesh. And it's the Word of God where we can find joy and rejoicing when we are surrendered to it and we're obedient to it. Our problem, if we have a problem with the light of God's Word, is not that the light is obscure. It's not that we can't tell the direction to go. It's not that there's some things that we just don't understand. That's not really the problem. The problem is that we're not always willing to do what we know the Word of God is telling us to do. Amen. The psalmist made his choice. He was heading in a particular direction. God gave him light for the journey called life, and to the end, he was going to pursue after it. And it brought rejoicing to his heart. You know what? That's some great advice as we walk through this life toward our heavenly home too. Some great advice. Let's ask the Lord to help us to understand the value of it and then to be determined to live it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the light and the direction of your word. We thank you for the defense that it can be for the trying things of life as well. It helps us make decisions in life. It calms the soul. The supernatural words of your book. And we can find an abundant life, and we can find a life of rejoicing and blessing when we're surrendered to it and we choose to live by it and obey it. The psalmist gave us some good advice, some good instruction. And again, it's not that we can't see so often. It's not that we just can't understand. The problem so often is just we're not willing to do what we know it's telling us we should do. Lord, I pray that you'd give us instruction here tonight. Maybe there's some who are full of worry and fear. They're not really trusting in you. They're exalting themselves over the power of God. Their focus is not on the Lord, it's on the circumstance. There's not peace in their heart. They're living in a way other than living by faith, and it's not pleasing to the Lord. Lord, help us to confess that sin, living in that prison of anxiety. Confess it to the Lord, forsake it, and truly find the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Lord, maybe there's one who's not even saved here tonight. They're still in darkness, and they walk in darkness, living by their own rules and living by their own understanding. But Lord, I pray you'd help them to see that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And may the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shine in unto them. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to fall in love with your word more and more, to see it for the heritage, the inheritance, the treasure that it is that you've given to us. And Lord, we pray that you'd draw us close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.